brother. Appreciate that reading. I've entitled this lesson, What Satan Wants for This Congregation. And there are those of the world that would ask us, do you really believe that there is a Satan, that there is some evil character that is out there, of course, posed by many with the red suit, the horns, carrying the pitchfork and the sharp pointed tail? Do you really believe that he really exists? And as children of God, we need not question that he exists. As a matter of fact, to question what he exists is really what he wants. If he, in our minds, is nothing, if he doesn't exist, he really is getting exactly what he wants. And we also have to recognize, too, that there are certain aspects that Satan has as a view to this world and what it is that his mission is. And he does have a mission. As a matter of fact, we see that in Scripture when we look at John 8 and verse 44. Jesus, speaking to the Jews in this prior to his death, said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." He wants to lie. He wants to deceive. Does not want to stand for the truth. And he wants to turn people away from Christ Jesus. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." And I know that he does not mention Satan here, but it follows with what Jesus described concerning Satan back in the 8th chapter in verse 44. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then we look at Luke 22 and verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon and Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. He has desired you," some versions say, "that he may sift you as wheat." We see where the Lord has a winnowing shovel when we look back at John the Baptizer's statement back in Matthew the 3rd chapter, where he would separate the wheat from the chaff. Satan also has a winnowing shovel, and he is searching for that chaff so that it will be burned up. In other words, he's looking for those that will follow him. And the reason that I present this lesson for us this morning, we just had another family place membership with this congregation. We have been blessed over the past year or so and have added many new members to this congregation. And there are those that are working that we've added to this congregation. There are those that are working for the Lord that are doing great service for the cause of Christ. And this congregation has been blessed. I want to remind you about our Job study just briefly before we get into the meat of this lesson. And in our Job study, we looked in both chapters 1 and 2. And we saw that Job was in the crosshairs of Satan all along. He knew that the Lord had been blessing Job, and he wanted Job to fail. And I will tell you that because of this growth that we've seen, and not just numbers, but I believe spiritually. I believe spiritually that this congregation is growing every time we come together. I see it by the comments and the questions even that are asked by brothers and sisters as we are in our class period. That there is spiritual growth that is taking place in this congregation. And I will promise you that the South Loop Church of Christ in Taylor is in the crosshairs of Satan. And there is something that he wants. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. What Satan wants for this congregation, the South Loop Church of Christ. And we must never forget this. As we go through this lesson, if you don't even listen to the rest of it, remember this. He wants failure. He wants failure. But I pray that you will listen to the lesson this morning. And what we must do is not give to him what it is that he wants. What Satan wants for us, first of all, is to have a divided congregation. Matter of fact, it goes back to the old adage, divide and conquer. We that worked in the prison really saw that from the standpoint of the officials in the prison, the guards and the warden and all those working together. One of the ways that they maintain control in prisons is to divide and conquer. From time to time, several of the brethren would be moved around from dorm to dorm, cell to cell, because of fears that maybe they were getting too close to a certain group, or just kept moving them so that they wouldn't get close to a certain group, so there would not be any sort of unified front from the standpoint of the prisoners. And it's also a rule in war. If you can divide the enemy, well, then you can conquer. If you meet them head on, full force, well, then your chances of winning are lessened. But Satan has this attitude also to divide and conquer. Jesus was questioned back in Mark the 3rd chapter, verse 24 and 26, through 26, about the power that he displayed in the healings that he was doing. And there were those that were saying, well, he does these healings by the power of Beelzebub, Satan. And Jesus replied to that. He says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. Understand that as we look through this and with what we already looked at in those three passages at the beginning of this presentation, that we can be assured and we can know for certain and we must never doubt that Satan is never not unified. He and his followers are always unified. There is no one that is with Satan that is not with Satan for the cause that Satan has. There is no division. There is no lack of harmony on the part of Satan and his followers. They are unified. And I just want you to think about that for a moment. The very thing that Satan will not have in his arena, that is division, he wants for us. Please, no one look at the picture that I have up here with the building being split in half and think that I'm saying that the South Loop Church of Christ is this building. I think you know better than that. This is just a graphic to help us understand. So please don't think that I'm saying that the church building is the church. It's not. We all understand that. But what he wants to do, what Satan wants to do, is to divide and conquer. And he wants that for the South Loop Church of Christ. Well, the question is, how might he do that? Well, first of all, he could do that very easily if he could divide the eldership. We look in Acts 20, verse 28. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. And here, Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders at the little town of Miletus, a little seashore town outside of Ephesus. Paul is on his third preaching tour going back to Jerusalem, but he wanted to talk to those of Ephesus, to the elders of Ephesus before he went back. So they met him there. And he tells them, take heed to yourselves. We'll come back to that in a moment. I have that bolded and underlined for a reason. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Whenever this admonition is given, it's not about membership, the membership watching the elders and keeping them in line. It's about the elders watching themselves to make sure that they are not divided. Take heed to yourselves. That's the first point that he makes before he mentions the congregation, the flock. And even before he reminds them that they have been made overseers by the qualifications that they have given by the Holy Spirit. We see that in 1 Timothy the third chapter, verses 1 and following. We see it in Titus, the first chapter, verses 5 and following. And we also see the work described, as Brother Wayman read for us this morning, in 1 Peter the fifth chapter, verse 2 and 3. He mentions, first of all, take heed to yourselves. And that in connection with there not being division in the eldership. But that there is harmony, that there is peace, that there is a consensus. That there are determinations that are not based upon what one man wants or another man wants or however many different elders there are in a congregation, but rather based upon what is best, number one, in service to the Lord, and then best also for the congregation as a whole. Congregations I've been in, they have those that are squeaky wheels within the congregation. You know the old adage, a squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I've been in congregations where the squeaky wheels really run the congregation. And that's not to be the case, especially when there is an eldership. Take heed to yourselves. Then take heed to all the flock. And then also be an overseer. And nurture or shepherd the church. Poimen is that word, shepherd, in the Greek. And that is the responsibility of the eldership. But especially in connection with what we're talking about this morning, in this context, take heed to yourselves that there is not division. And I will tell you that squeaky wheels in congregations look for, and especially where there are elders, look to see if they can find if there's any division in the eldership, and they will try to make that worse and worse. They'll try to spread them even further apart. We look in verses 2 and 3 as Wayman read for this morning. Shepherds must lead all the flock. Not just a portion of it, but all the flock. And that point there, shepherd the flock, is not only about nurturing, but also serving as overseers to see over it. And that they are to rule over the congregation, not by compulsion, but willingly. And not for dishonest gain, but by being examples to the flock. In other words, shepherds, elders, show forth what true harmony is. What true unity is. And when one of the squeaky wheels may come up to an elder and ask a question, hoping that they will give their thoughts, which might be different than another elder's thoughts, the shepherd will say, the elder will say, I will talk with my elder, because every elder has elders. It's the other elders. I will talk with my elder and we will get back with you in a consensus decision. Shepherds are the epitome of decision by consensus. And we see that when we look in the 133rd Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. That's the first analogy that is presented to us by David concerning unity. He says it's like the precious oil that was running down on the beard of Aaron and down to his garment. What did he mean by that? He means here that just as Aaron was anointed as high priest, in unity with what God would have him to do, in absolute unity and understanding what his function was, in unity in glorifying God, he says that is what it is like for brethren to dwell in unity. Then the second, he says in verse 3, is like the dew of Hermon, that is Mount Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And he says it's like that. It's like that life-giving water, the dew that would descend upon Zion. He says that's what it's like. And that's what elders show forth in their unity as shepherds of the Lord's flock. Shepherds look for the Lord's good first. When we look over in the 122nd Psalm, verse 6 through 9, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. We first of all seek the good elders are to seek the good for the congregation as a whole. Not just for the squeaky wheels, not just for a part of it or a portion of it. As a matter of fact, there are times where shepherds will put to the side their own desires for the good of the congregation. And that's seen by shepherds. And this is what Satan wants to destroy. He wants to destroy, first of all, from the top, because if he can destroy from the top and have a divided eldership, he understands he can do exactly what this graphic says right here. He can split this congregation, and his desire, because we are in his crosshairs, his desire is to do that day in and day out. And don't think for a moment that he's not using this COVID situation to try to do that. He's trying, he's using it to its fullest potential. And he wants to divide the eldership. He wants to divide the membership also. When we look at 1 Corinthians 1 verses 10 through 13, Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Every one of us have a different opinion on things. It doesn't matter what it's about. We have different opinion on things. That opinion is set aside when we come to Scripture. But in matters of this life, we all have different opinions about different things. But what Paul is talking about here, and especially as we look at this last part of verse 10, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, is always possible by every member of the congregation whenever we look to do the Lord's will and we glorify Him. When we do that, well then there we are going to be of the same mind and the same judgment. This morning, we had it in our class, quite a discussion on verse 60 of Acts the 7th chapter. And there were some different thoughts that were brought out, and not one of those thoughts that were brought out, I pray, of course you never know until maybe later, but I pray that it did not cause any division, even though there were different thoughts. We can have different understanding of Scripture and still come to the conclusion, I think, where we all came to this morning, that we have to be obedient to the gospel of Christ Jesus in order to be forgiven of our sins. That's really where we got to. But there would be some that would this morning look at that and say, well, because there's difference of opinions on verse 60, then also as we look back to the 23rd chapter of Luke, and then also when we look over in Acts 7 chapter and verse 60, and we see all those things that are mentioned there, they're not of the same judgment whatsoever. Yes, we are. We came to the same conclusion. And that is that we look to always the big picture of I will serve my Lord. And I will not cause trouble. And I will not cause division. And I will be in harmony. And I will look to God to do His will. That's what being perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment is about. Members look out for one another also. Romans 12 chapter verse 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to that which is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. The ESV says outdoing one another in honor. And I look out over the congregation this morning and I see honor that's taking place. I know that our governor has lifted the mask mandate, and I see almost every member there at the building, they still have their mask on, and that's a choice. And I will tell you that if you're like me, wherever I do have to go out into public to the doctor, that's really about all we do out in public. We get our groceries pick up, so we're not interacting with anyone at the grocery store. But whenever we go to the doctor, we walk in and we have our mask on. I can't wait for those masks to come off. I'm sick of masks. But we understand, and I see practically all the congregation this morning giving honor to one another. And there are some at the congregation this morning that are at risk. at least one brother in particular that I can think of that is at very high risk. And I see honor being given to him by the congregation this morning. They have their mask on. Is it what we want to do? No, it's not what we want to do, but it's about giving honor to one another. As a matter of fact, that was part of the reading that Wayman gave for us this morning when we go back to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And that is giving honor to one another. Members give up self. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 4 through 7, talking about love. Love is the giving up of self quite often. Look at what Paul says. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. I will have my way or no other way. He said, no, that's not the way that love is. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. And hopes all things. And endures all things. And that's what's taking place right now. And I see that in this congregation. But what Satan is wanting to take place is that there be some harangue that takes place over this current condition. And the South Loop Church of Christ is not going to stand for that. Because members look to glorify God. The members of this congregation look to glorify God and to give honor to one another. Romans 15, chapter verse 5 through 7. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. What Satan wants is for members to glorify themselves. I want my way. I don't care about anyone else. I don't care about any situation that takes. I want my way, and I want it done now, and I want it done the way that I want it. That's what Satan tries to put in the mind of each and every one of us. We have those that are at home right now online. And we have no right to tell anyone at the building how to conduct themselves. They're there. They're there by choice. But I tell you, when we work together as a membership and not allow ourselves to be divided, the outcome is going to be to the glory of God. It's going to be to the glory of God. And that's what Satan is trying to do, is to divide the membership. And he uses times such as these. Satan wants for us to have a preacher that will not preach. And when we look in Galatians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And I will tell you, as preacher of this congregation, I take those words very seriously. I take all of these words, all of these points very seriously that Paul is mentioning here. First of all, that I don't take sides. The only side that I take is the side of Christ Jesus. And I'm not looking to please men. And there have been preachers in congregations because they recognize they're getting a pretty good salary. And I'll tell you, those that act the way that I'm talking about, they're being paid. They're not being supported. They're being paid. I'll just give in to those that seem to be somewhat in the congregation, and I'll not address any of the shortcomings that they have. And that cannot be what the preacher does. He cannot be a servant of men. Preachers preach the word and all of the word. When we go back to Acts 20 chapter with those same Ephesian elders, this is the way that Paul started here in verse 27. I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Well, we have brother so-and-so out there in the audience, and I know, and everybody in the congregation knows of what he's been involved in, but I'm not going to mention that because, you know, I think that I've heard that he puts in a pretty good contribution every Sunday. We don't want to upset the apple cart, so I'm not going to say anything about him. I'll talk about other things and other situations. Or we have a congregation that is growing and the numbers are getting bigger, and that's a wonderful thing. And so I'm going to make sure that all the sermons that I preach are always going to be on the positive, nothing negative ever pointed out. I won't talk about sin. I won't talk about that which is needed by the congregation because things are going so well and they're supporting me and Beverly in the work here. No. Preacher is to preach the whole counsel of God, and the whole counsel of God contains that which is not only positive but also that which is negative. We see in 2 Timothy 4 verses 2 through 4, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. That is, ready when people want to hear the truth and whenever they need to hear the truth, but they don't want to hear it. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and hear. And I make confession, I have to really work on this with all long-suffering and doctrine, or all long-suffering and teaching. And I have to remember Samuel, back in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, whenever the Israel asked for kings, for a king, like all the other nations round about them, and Samuel rent his clothes and was very upset, and then was reminded by God himself, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. And I have to remember in my preaching, when there are those that need to hear the truth and they reject it, I'm not the one being rejected, but God is. And all of this, preaching the word, convincing, rebuking, exhorting with all long-suffering and teaching from God's word, is for this reason. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, those that are willing to draw the paycheck and preach whatever it is that you want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That is what men create. The truths of men. Preachers preach because they love souls. And I'll tell you, in all of this, it's not what Satan wants. He wants for preachers to look at the bigger picture of what's best for him and his family. But preachers preach because they love souls. 2 Corinthians 11:27 through 28, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. I'm not Paul. I have not gone through the things that he has gone through, but I have gone through things where I have been affected in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness. And there is always the deep concern for this congregation because I know what Satan wants for it. It wants a division. It wants a split in this congregation. He wants a split in this congregation. Preachers preach because they love souls and they don't want these things to happen. Preachers look to bring souls to Christ and brethren to unity. 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Satan doesn't want a preacher in this congregation like that. And elders, if you see that I'm following in what Satan wants, get rid of me. Fire me. And find a preacher that will do the things that we have talked about. I pray that that is what I'm doing. I know that it is my desire, and I pray that it is coming across that way because I love the soul of every individual in this congregation. So the question is, will we give Satan what he wants? Or will we give God what he expects? 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. Since you have purified yourselves in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. You know, that goes back to each and every one. It goes back to the elders. It goes back to the membership. It goes back to the preacher. That our interests are not for just ourselves, but it's also for each and everyone in the congregation. And he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, that is the word of God, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flowers falls away. But the word of God, the word of the Lord, endures forever. Now this is the word by the gospel was preached to you. And it is where we bring forth, where the preacher brings forth sermons such as this, and he uses Scripture. Satan doesn't want that. Satan, again, wants our elders to be divided, our membership to be divided in a preacher that is wishy-washy. In 1 John 4, verse 7 through 11, John says, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And we look at this, and as a preacher and as a membership, we say, well, you know, there's things that I disagree with that the elders are doing. But we have to come back to a consideration. They're not going to be divided. They're going to come to a consensus on all matters. Doesn't matter what it's about. And they're going to lead us to glorify God. And we also recognize that we chose them as shepherds of this congregation. Brother Jonathan and Sister Sarah placed membership this morning. They were not here whenever the elders were chosen and installed in this congregation, but because they have determined to place membership with this congregation, they have also made the commitment to follow the lead of this eldership. So whether they chose them or not, it goes back to them looking to our elders that are examples for us. And that's true with every one of you that has placed membership that wasn't here whenever these elders were put in place. They will lead us. They will give us the example. They will show Satan we're not going to be divided. And because of that example that is set forth, this membership is going to say, we will not allow ourselves, no matter what our desires are, we're not going to allow ourselves to be divided. And I pray that you will pray for me that I will not present the Word of God with respect to persons. Because if I did that to those that need the truth, I withhold. And so I pray that you pray for me in the work that I do. And I don't do it alone. If it wasn't for Beverly, I couldn't do this by myself. And so I ask you this morning, may we assist you in defeating Satan. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you're not part of His called out, Satan is your master. He has you conquered. He doesn't want you to hear the truth. He wants you to believe lies. Lies such as maybe you're telling yourself, well, I'm okay and I'll obey at some point in time. I remember that there was a brother that had a son-in-law that he was studying with. And the son-in-law in 2008 said, you know, I'm going to become a child of God, but I want to be baptized in the tank, in the pond that's on our property. And right now it's dry. Just as soon as that pond or that tank catches water, well, I'm going to be baptized. Everybody knows what happened in 2008. Severe drought. It was seven more years where there was enough water to get in and to baptize. That man was not convicted. He was telling himself a lie. He was wanting to not hear the truth anymore. Just as soon as that water fills up, I'll be baptized. Well, there were still rivers that were flowing with water. There were still two congregations nearby where he lived that had baptistries with water in it. The fact of the matter, he was telling himself a lie. And you're telling yourself a lie if you're not baptized for remission of your sins. If you're not doing that, everything will be okay. We don't know that. We don't know what's going to happen even in the next moment. And so Satan has you where he wants you, but you can overcome him and you can be united not only with the Lord, you can be united with brethren in a stand against him. This day by being baptized in remission of your sins. Will you do that? And then those of us that are members of this congregation, are we working for harmony, unity, and are we working to outdo one another in honor? Are we saying to Satan, you're not going to affect this, you're not going to affect this congregation. You're not going to use me. We are going to follow the lead of our elders that show forth that example of what true harmony, unity, and Christianity is, and we're going to glorify God in following them because they glorify God? Or do you have the attitude, you know, I want my way. I can't take things the way that they are, and I just want my way. Well, if that's your attitude, you need to ask forgiveness. Because that's not what we look at. You're actually falling right in line with what Satan wants. And so I ask if there are those that we can help in any way this morning to not do what Satan wants for us, will you please come as we stand and sing?
Okay, 289 is your 189.